If you have your Bible with you this morning, I invite you to meet me in Hebrews 10. We're going to be looking at verses 19 through 25 today. Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 25. We are continuing in our series focused upon spiritual practices. And every week, with every practice, we are reminded that our God is more interested in our healing and transformation than even we are. Today, we come to the spiritual practice of community. You may not always think of community as a spiritual practice. In fact, you might be thinking to yourself, aren't the spiritual practices about like heading off into the woods alone or finding a quiet space in my home where I can focus on God just by myself? And you'd be right in a way. The spiritual practices do involve drawing away often, but they always are set against the backdrop of community. And today we're going to explore the way in which our community, specifically our household of faith right here at Fletcher Hills, contributes to our practice of the spiritual practices. So we'll be in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25, and I'll begin reading in verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Please pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for our chance to be together as a community in the sanctuary this morning. We're so thankful for your presence here with us and the chance that we have to worship you. We are thankful as well for the gift of Scripture. And so, God, we ask that in these next few minutes, as we focus on Hebrews chapter 10, that you give each of us eyes to see just what you want us to see, that you give us hearts that are soft and ready to receive whatever you choose to reveal, and that you give us conviction that's strong so we can apply what we see and understand to the way we live every day. I pray all of these in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are living in an epidemic of isolation. Our culture leans toward solitary lives, toward isolation. And maybe it began with this concept of rugged individualism, the ego that says, I can do it by myself. I don't need anybody else. I've got this. That's maybe where it started, but it's accentuated and accelerated by technology, by video games that keep us in our silos, by social media that has the sense of community, but we're just at home alone on our phones digging into that anyway. And phones themselves seem to have contributed so much to this isolation that takes place in our culture. Child development experts identify something called parallel play. Are you familiar with that? Kids get to a certain age, and when they go out onto the playground, you'll see two kids right beside each other playing, but they're not interacting with each other. They're working on their own projects, and that's a great step in their development that will eventually turn into an interactive play environment. If you look out across a city park these days or on our public transportation system, you'll notice that we as adults have mastered parallel play these days. You'll look upon a crowd of people that you'd expect to be talking with each other energetically and sharing life together, but instead, everybody's got their face buried in a phone, engaged in whatever is happening there that happens to be more important than any of the people around them. In fact, you can even find yourself in a restaurant where a family has taken the time to go out to eat and each person is buried in their own phone. Isolation is rampant in our world. And then along comes a pandemic, and we are forced to isolate from one another for 2 years of increased separation, live-streamed worship, and figuring out how to make it through. Then your pastor starts preaching about spiritual practices and seems to be sending you even further apart into isolation and solitude and wilderness and everything else. But there's something beautiful here because really all of this is meant to be done in the context of community, the spiritual practices against the backdrop of your community. To understand this a little bit more, let's back up and consider for a moment the monastic movement. This was a movement that began in the 4th century. Perhaps you've heard of the Desert Fathers and the Desert Mothers. They were famous for isolating themselves out in the wilderness and coming back with wisdom to share that they'd received directly from God. The monastic movement was founded by an Egyptian monk named Anthony. He left his home and spent 20 years alone in a cave, communing with God, considering what the world needed from God. And when he emerged in 305 CE from that cave, he founded the first of these monastic communities. Many of these monks were desperate to be separate. They wanted to be as far away from the city and even from other monks as they could. They would move when others came near. Many of the communities were as far as 30 miles apart to make sure that they were isolated sufficiently so they could correctly commune with God. And yet, if you study the history of the monastic movement, you will find that even these separatists, even these who were drawing away from community and away from one another, they came together from time to time. They recognized that they needed each other. They recognized that in order to practice their Christian faith, they could not be apart from all of their brothers and sisters. They needed the people of God around them. Barbara Brown Taylor says, "The hardest spiritual work in the world is to love the neighbor as the self." And that's what we have opportunity for in community. And those monastic communities drew together so that they could engage in that hardest work. Community is a gift, and it was a gift from the very beginning. If you think back to the creation of the world, what's the mantra that goes on all the way through? God made this and it was good. God made this and it was good. God made this and it was good. And then when God got to humanity, it was very good, right? Humanity was very good. But if you look in Genesis chapter 2, there's a declaration right afterward that it was not good. It was not good for the man to be alone. So God made a companion for Adam, and in the creation of Eve, God made community possible. And there really shouldn't be a surprise in this, a surprise in God's emphasis on community, because God is community. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons interacting in constant community with one another. And if we spend time working our way through the Old Testament, we're going to see the emphasis of community at every turn. The centrality of the family, but also the nation Israel, selected by God, blessed by God, empowered to go into the world and bless others, relying on one another in community, figuring out how to live this life and live out their faith in that way. We see it especially in those songs of ascent that they would sing on their pilgrimage to Jerusalem as they were preparing to worship together. It's a beautiful picture of community. And then jump over to the New Testament. And I encourage you to do this week. Go to Acts chapter 2. Go to Acts chapter 4, the beginning of the New Testament church, and think about the community that they were busy forming together. It was powerful. God was doing something really powerful, binding them together and showing them a new way of doing life together. And I got to be honest with you, sometimes community's hard, isn't it? That diversity I prayed for earlier, you might have been thinking during the prayer, yeah, sometimes I don't like the diversity, Kevin. Sometimes that's what makes people hard to be around. Sometimes that's why I don't want to be in fellowship with that particular person. We work through those things because we are different. Those differences are beautiful and sometimes irritating, but we know that God is working among us and binding us together. The same was true for the early church. It wasn't just a picture-perfect situation. And so I always think about that when I come to a text like Acts 2 or Acts 4 and realize, look, they were in the same trenches that we're in. They were dealing with different personalities and different tastes and different understandings of things, but they found a way with the help of the Holy Spirit to do life together in a beautiful and powerful way. There's a great example of the gift of community there. And when we're in community, there's also the joy of gathering together. The joy of gathering. Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 122, verse 1. They say, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. That's another of those songs of ascent. They're preparing to go to worship, and you sense that there's joy because of that, because they're going to the house of the Lord. They're going to be in the presence of their God, but also joy that they're going to do it together as a community. That's also the essence of what the author of Hebrews is saying in chapter 10. Listen to these lines. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. It's not you better hold firm to the hope that you profess. It's let us, may we. Let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. It's not you better continue doing this, but let us, may we. And how is this done? Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Meeting together, worshiping together, simply being together are essential to the practice of our faith. They're also essential to our spiritual transformation. Because you see, we are transformed together through our weekly worship, through our time together as trios, even in our business meetings and committee meetings and congregational meetings, when we draw together, we are transformed. It sets the Holy Spirit loose among us, drawing us near one another, helping us to help each other and encourage each other. It's a beautiful arrangement. But when we draw apart and we stay apart, we miss out on these possibilities. Not only do we miss out on what the community can offer to us, but they miss out on what we bring to the equation. We are meant to be together so that we might be transformed together. Also, in community, we are transformed through our practice of the spiritual practices. They were never meant to make us solo monastics. Many of these practices can be done corporately, even though we don't always think of them that way. Think for a moment about meditative prayer that we covered way back at the beginning of the series. Meditative prayer can effectively be practiced as we're alone, as we draw away, but also in a beautiful way, meditative prayer can be practiced right in the midst of a worship service, or right in the midst of a trio gathering, or right in the midst of a Bible study when we choose to draw together of one mind and meditate in that way upon our God. Lectio Divina can be practiced corporately. You know that because we did it together here in the sanctuary just a handful of weeks ago. Focusing on scripture that way can be beautiful when we're alone, but it can also be incredibly encouraging and fruitful when we do it together. We have a chance to engage with God's word in that way. And we didn't do this during our service a few weeks ago, but you can also, when you come back together, break off into small groups so that you can share the things that you were guided to in the spirit when you spent time focusing on the scriptures. Solitude and silence, stick with me for a second here. Solitude and silence can also be practiced corporately, not right in the moment, but as an ebb and flow for the people of God. That's part of what the monastics showed us, is they would draw away, they would ebb away from the community to engage with God and hear from God. But then in that flow, as they gathered back together, all of them benefited from what each one of them experienced in their practices. The same is true for us. I was listening to someone's testimony this week. They were talking about this beautiful friendship. And one friend had said to the other, hey, I want to come join you for your solitude and silence retreat tomorrow. And the guy's like, how can you do that? That's solitude and silence, right? So what they decided to do was they met together at the beach, and each of them walked and prayed for 3 hours. These were heavyweights. And then they turned around and they came back. And when they met together, they were able to share what they'd experienced of God and to end their time praying together. They were integrating solitude and silence with the community that they found in one another. Sacred space can also be practiced corporately as we journey together on a pilgrimage to a place where we can engage with God in that experience. There's all kinds of space for community in carrying out these spiritual practices. I love what Ruth Haley Barton says about this and spiritual transformation. She says, spiritual transformation takes place incrementally, over time, with others, in the context of practices that open us to God. That's a beautiful statement that covers really kind of the entirety of what we've been talking about with our spiritual practices. I love every one of the specifics that she offers there. It takes place incrementally. Look, the transformation that God's working in us is a lifelong process, and we want to stay engaged with it because we want that transformation in life to continue to happen in us. Over time, with others, there's your community. That's what we're learning about, thinking about today, in the context of practices that open us to God. And remember, these spiritual practices are our way of saying yes to God's invitation toward healing and transformation. What a beautiful summary of what we've been talking about. Now, today was going to be the last message in this series. This is week number 8 of our spiritual practices. I decided to add one last week on, and we're going to finish next week with a message that focuses on something called a rule of life. I'm going to tell you more about it when we get together next week, but in essence, it's a way to draw together a personalized plan for spiritual transformation using the tools that we've been talking about these last 8 weeks, pulling together what it is that works for you on a regular basis to experience this incremental transformation that Ruth Haley Barton is talking about here. And I can't wait to gather next week and work through that material with you. But before we do, let me pray to close our time together in the scriptures today. Our Heavenly Father, I am so thankful for spiritual practices, but the power that they have in our lives if we choose to engage them and use them on a regular basis. You make yourself so available to us, and yet we become so busy in this life at times that we miss the invitation. Help us to continue to engage with you every single day using practices like these. And help us when it comes to our community, the people who are sitting around us in this space, who we treasure so much. They're such a gift to us. Help us together through the simplicity of weekly worship in this space, regular gatherings with our trios and our Sunday school classes and our Bible studies, and even just times that we invite each other out for a cup of coffee, to take advantage of the community who surrounds us so that we might draw energy and support from them, and we might also provide the same to the people around us. Thank you for being a God who is available. We draw near to you as we are healed and transformed in your presence. I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.